Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, and we are broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. And by the grace of God and your partnership, we are reaching the world. And the world needs to hear the message that we have to communicate, because we live in perhaps one of the darkest times, if not the darkest time in human history. Now, there may be some exceptions to that. For example, the time immediately before the flood of Noah was an incredibly dark time. It was so dark on planet Earth that, according to the scriptures, the Word of God, God decided to flood the entire earth. And God chose to destroy every living thing, every person on planet Earth. I mean, that is so far beyond the contemporary mindset that it staggers the mind. And not only that, God decided to wipe out everything that he had created in the beginning, except for a remnant that consisted of a man named Noah and Noah's wife, his sons, their wives, and then the animals hauled onto this incredibly large boat structure called an ark. And so all the living species that God chose, male and female, were brought into the ark, all for the purpose, including Noah and his family, all for the purpose of being fruitful and multiplying, God's primary mandate. We hear that in the scripture over and over again, but it's not enough to hear it over and over again, because if you walk into the average evangelical church or evangelical educational institution, I'm telling you right now, they have no clue whatsoever as to what God meant by the words, be fruitful and multiply. Oh, yes, they understand the primary purpose of the statement. But when God says something, you don't just take away from whatever God said. You just don't gather a superficial understanding of it. You need to mine its depths. You need to dig deep. You need to dive deep to understand what God is really saying. And God has a lot more to say in be fruitful and multiply than purely human reproduction or animal reproduction. That is one of God's primary mandates. It's one of his primary laws by which he built creation. So being fruitful and multiply was the commandment he originally gave to Adam and Eve, the first couple, married couple, in the Garden of Eden. And that meant, of course, reproduction. But it also meant a whole bunch of other things, and we're going to talk about some of them. Because you see, if you don't understand what God meant by be fruitful and multiply, then to put it bluntly, you are stuck in your biblical education. You're kind of in a cosmic freeze frame in your biblical instruction, because you haven't gone beyond the very first chapter of the Bible. I mean, it's pathetic, really pathetic, that people teach the Bible, people read the Bible, and they have no idea what it's saying. as if for one moment you could just gloss over God's words, be fruitful and multiply. I mean, can you imagine that? Let me read this to you. This is Genesis chapter 1, first chapter in the Bible. Now, in school, if you couldn't understand or master, you know, the first part of a lesson or whatever, you would, you couldn't move on. Eventually, you couldn't graduate. You were stuck. This is the same in understanding God's word. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image." That gets rid of the philosophy of secular humanism in a nanosecond. "According to our likeness, let them have dominion." Them, by the way, is Adam and Eve. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish, of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, what is essential here when we read God's word is that we are to rightly divide the word of God. That means understand it the way God meant it to be understood. Understand it in all its fullness, not just superficially. Otherwise, the end product is you're going to be a dummy. And guess what? Dummies get picked on because they're weak. And we have in America, we have several generations of Christian dummies that are picked on, that are mocked, that are despised by the society, the culture. They're mocked by Hollywood daily. And why is this so? Because the world gets it. The world gets it that if you're going to be a dummy, you're weak. You're a soft target. You're easy to pick on. And guess what? The floodgates are open for the picking on, for the mocking of Christians, for the despising of Christians. Being a Christian, an evangelical Christian, it's the only group in America where you can still pick on this group. You can commit hate crimes and anything you want against this group, and it's open season. Nobody says anything. Nobody's ever held to an account. Well, you know what that does? You know what it does. It's what it does to children in a schoolyard. It trains the bullies, and we have bullies in our society. It trains the bullies to attack you. And since you never resist, you never protest, you never stand up, you're a soft target. And that's not the way God created it to be. If you actually read Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter in the Bible, you would see very clearly that's not the way it's supposed to be. In fact, I'm going to read you just a few verses. And I guarantee you, the overwhelming majority of your Christian friends are so clueless, they're so oblivious by choice. And unless you're willing to shine the light on them, then they'll never wake up. That's the purpose of this ministry, to shine the light on people. And sometimes that means you have to rough it up a little bit. Okay, so let's read some verses in Genesis. When we go back to Genesis, And we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 again. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness." Now, notice the phrase after that. Notice what God is saying immediately after that. First chapter of the Bible. And then it says, I'll start a little bit before it. "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them," Adam and Eve, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This critical word that the Christian church is afraid to use now, dominion, means rulership over. It doesn't mean to be trodden down and trampled underfoot by enemies, nor does it mean some kind of quasi-militaristic extremism. It doesn't mean that either. It's righteous dominion. It's dominion and authority born out of the character of God. God is love. So, here in Genesis, it says that Adam and Eve, God's children, and every person who's born again as a child of God, were supposed to have dominion over the land that God has given us. Now, here it's talking about the land that God gave Adam and Eve, which was the Garden of Eden and planet Earth. Then, when we get into the Bible further, it's the land of Canaan, or the Promised Land, where Joshua and Caleb had to go in and take back the Promised Land from the Nephilim giants that had stolen it. Because God promised them the land of Israel. And then we continually see statements in the Bible regarding possessing the land, the promise of the land. And then God's children, and God's children are the Jews and Christians. Under the new covenant, God's children, when Jesus says, "Occupy until I come," he meant occupy the land, the territory that I gave you until I come back. You can't occupy, which means to exercise dominion, and be under the domination of a hostile evil force at the same time. So it's clear what our perspective should be. Now, then, after it says that, we go down a little bit further and we see that God repeats the word dominion again. So clearly this is important to him. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it.'" Subduing the earth is not destroying the earth. Subduing the earth is ruling over the earth, but once again, from the righteousness of God, from that perspective. So you, when you rule over the earth or you subdue the earth, you're not, I don't want to use this expression, it would communicate it, but I don't want, somebody will misunderstand and be offended, so I'm going to pass on it. Ruling over the earth is a righteous exercise of dominion. It's not about polluting the earth and destroying the earth and abusing the earth. Let's put it that way. Okay, so it says, "God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply.' fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion, have dominion, have dominion over the fish of the sea. And it continues on. So what's the takeaway from that? The takeaway from that is that at the very beginning, God gives Adam and Eve the authority and the power and the authority. They're given the authority to be the rulers and to reign over planet Earth, to be the king and queen, if you will, of planet Earth and the Garden of Eden. So it's not an accident that in these verses, in verse 26, when it says these words, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. So this is critical that we understand this, that you and I, and men and women, and mankind, have been made in the image of God. So we really have to understand that. We're made in the image of God, therefore, we have characteristics and behaviors and psychology in our being that is made in the image of God. So then it says, let them have dominion. So this word dominion, ruling over, rulership over, it flows directly out of the fact that mankind, you and I, are made in the image of God. Once we've established that in our brains, that we're made in the image of God, then God says that we have been given dominion. The fact that we have dominion flows directly out of the fact that we're made in the image of God. So we're made in the image of God. God is Almighty, Supreme Being. God is the ultimate ruler and authority, but we're made in his image. And he has given us the authority to rule and reign and have dominion. I don't understand why that's difficult for Christians in America to understand. Okay. Because if we were exercising dominion, if we were exercising ruling and reigning, we would not be in the process of being hunted down, which we are culturally. We're being hunted down. We're prey. We're the only group in America that you can mock and belittle constantly on the media or in any other arena. Our values are open season to be attacked. It's okay. And think about this. Every group in America has come out of the closet. And they are protected and have been given a restoration of rights. And they're out of the closet, whether it's due to sexuality, whether or not it's due to their particular religious beliefs. So for example, Satanism is out of the closet. Witchcraft is out of the closet. Wicca is out of the closet. And we could name all kinds of groups that are out of the closet. Nobody would dare say anything negative or attack or disparage or belittle in any way, shape, or form somebody who's Muslim or somebody that is Islamic. It is inconceivable that anybody, including the media and big tech, would dare to attack them. The only group that is in the closet in America today are evangelical Christians. Now, at one time, evangelical Christians were not in the closet. But now, they're the only group in America that are in the closet. Do you think that that's the will of God for his people to be the only people group in America that are in the closet? Is that God's will? Does your reading of Genesis or the Bible lead you to believe that? Why is it that we're the only group that is in the closet? It has everything to do with the fact that we, as a group, do not read our Bibles. We don't believe our Bibles. We have never developed a biblical view. And most Christians are being led by Christian leaders who are totally clueless regarding what a biblical worldview is. In fact, their sermons are essentially sermons about how to stay in the closet, how to be comfortable in the closet, and how to praise God the rest of your life that you're in the closet. Essentially, that's the theology. It has another name. It's called seeker-friendly. But I prefer to call it what it really is. It's called staying in the closet, which is not the will of God for his people. Because you can't preach the gospel and go into all the world and preach the gospel in the closet. You can't make disciples of all nations in the closet. You can't love your neighbor as yourself in the closet. You can't develop a biblical worldview in the closet. Now, again, every other group is out of the closet except for evangelical Christians. What's wrong with that picture? Especially in light of the fact that in Genesis chapter 1, God's primary mandate is that because we're made in his image, male and female, we're supposed to have dominion over the earth, rulership over the earth. That encompasses, when I say over the earth, that encompasses rulership over many things. Societal things, dominion over many things, societal things included. And again, it repeats that we've been given dominion and we're supposed to subdue the earth. So if you're in the closet as a Christian because you failed to stand up against evil when it was still manageable, when you pretended you couldn't see the train clearly coming down the tracks, blowing its whistle real loudly 100 years ago, and all the Christian leaders and all the Christian seminary professors, you're telling me they couldn't see the train that was coming? There were books published. They knew what was coming. They knew globalism was coming. Humanism was coming. Darwinian evolution was coming. Everything they knew was coming because it was coming. And the train was blowing the whistle. The only person who couldn't have seen it coming was somebody who deliberately didn't want to see it. So, in the first book of the Bible, we've been given dominion. We've been given rulership. And this all comes from the context that we're created out of God's image. You see, the enemy, the evil one, struck at the heart of our identity when he lied, not necessarily through scientists. There were activists in Britain, the elite. The scientific elite, the globalist elite, were secretly financing. The Huxleys were secretly financing and promoting Darwin's theory of evolution. Why? Not because it was really true, but because it became a great substitute, and then they didn't have to have people believe in the Bible regarding the origin of man. Okay. So, we're told in the Bible, as God tells us that we're made in his image, that we've been given dominion, that we've been given the power to subdue the earth, to rule and reign over the earth. God says in that context, so you read the verse in its context, it's not an accident that the following verse flows right out of the context that I just talked to you about. And this is what it says. So it flows out of the context of dominion, subduing, rulership, ruling and reigning, authority. And then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, there's a number of reasons for that. Unless you have dominion, unless you are exercising ruling and reigning, unless you have subdued the earth and are exercising dominion, it becomes difficult then for you to be fruitful and multiply. So what God is saying here, if you bother to read it properly, is that it's that if you are not ruling and reigning, if you're not exercising dominion, then it's very difficult to obey the next thing that he's commanding us to do, which is to be fruitful and multiply. Being fruitful and multiplying flows directly out of living in a world in which you're exercising dominion, rulership, ruling and reigning. How many times do you meet people in today's society, today's world, young people? They're thinking of getting married, but they're nervous and they don't want to. They're thinking of having children, but they're nervous and they don't want to. And what you hear them say all the time, people of certain generations, well, said it in my generation, but it's just become more commonplace. Young people, young women especially, will say, I don't know if I want to bring a child into a world like this. Or it's spoken slightly different, but the essential message is you hear mainly women and men say, I don't know if I want to have a baby. We don't know if we want to have children. We don't know if we want to bring a child or have children in a world like this. What does that mean? You know what it means. What it means is that the world has become such a frightening, horrific, challenging, scary place that they have become psychologically afraid of bringing children into a world that is so uncertain and so hostile. And that is actually the reason that there are millions of people not having babies, because they're afraid to bring a child into a world like this. So, you see, God understands this. And that's why, notice that he doesn't tell Adam and Eve his primary mandate about being fruitful and multiplying. He doesn't communicate that until he first communicates that they're supposed to be ruling and reigning, having dominion over the earth. And then after he tells them to be fruitful and multiply, he again says, subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Why? Because when God's people are doing what God commanded them to do, the world can be hostile, but if the world is tamed by Bible-believing Christians who are subduing the earth righteously, who are ruling and reigning righteously and in love, who are exercising dominion, then that creates a safe zone, a safe space to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. So what we're hearing today in the mouths of women and men really is something that God understood and what God addressed in the very first chapter of Genesis. Now, if things were stabilizing, etc., people would be released psychologically to have children. But they're frightened. They're scared. And you can understand why. Okay, so this is a critical thing to understand. And it's not an accident that it is in specifically the flow of the context of dominion, rulership, reigning, dominion, that God gives his all-important mandate to the human race, to men and women, when he tells them to be fruitful and multiply. Now, the first thing God meant by that, and perhaps the most important thing that God meant by that, is reproduction, sexual reproduction, have babies. But notice that God says, be fruitful and multiply. So there is a subtle difference between being fruitful and multiplying. And what that is that it's not purely a message from God about making babies, although that's extremely important to God. But because God is love, when God tells men and women to be fruitful and multiply, it goes deeper than just the reproduction part. It means that in everything that God has given men and women, in everything that God has given you, in every blessing you have, in every talent you've been given, in every gift you've been given, in every asset and resource you've been given, anything that God has given you, God is commanding you to be fruitful and multiply with whatever it is that God has given you. And that's the full spectrum meaning of being fruitful and multiply. So, for example, whatever talents, abilities, gifts, assets, resources, whatever God has given you, intelligence, good looks, I don't know, whatever. Fast thinker, I don't know. It's a lot of gifts. God expects you. He expects you. This is one of his primary principles. If you work in sync with God's primary principle and not against it, your life will be blessed. So God is telling you, regarding whatever he's given you, be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth and subdue it, et cetera, et cetera. But it's critical, so critical to understand this. And it's my prayer that the Lord will use the Paul McGuire report to plant the seeds of God's word into the hearts and minds of people all over the United States and people all over the world. Now, this message, by the way, is repeated over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. With Noah, the first thing that God says to Noah and his family when the flood subsides and they're able to walk on dry land, God tells Noah and his sons and their wives and families, and he's also speaking to the animal kingdom, God is saying to them, be fruitful and multiply, but primarily to Noah and his family. Be fruitful and multiply. Then you read the blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy 28. The blessings comes from being fruitful and multiplying. You then read in the New Testament the story of the manager that goes away. But before he goes away, he leaves a certain amount of talents to different servants that he has. And his expectation is that they multiply the talents or the money that the manager has given them. In other words, we could say the manager told them to be fruitful and multiply with the economic money he gave them. And so when he comes back, he holds each one individually accountable for what they did with the amount of money or talents that he gave each of them. And when you read it, he's praising the ones that invested, or they were fruitful and multiplied what the manager gave them. And see a whole lot of praises being given out to everyone that was fruitful and multiplied what they were given. But to the one that accused the manager of being evil, and he said, the wicked servant said, I hid your money under the ground because I was afraid. There's a lot of truth in there. What God is saying there, and by the way, that whole thing is about being fruitful and multiplying until the Lord returns. But there's also a warning in there. If you take the deep dive regarding God's word, there's a warning to believers against allowing fear to block you from being fruitful and multiplying. And that would also include, there's a warning against men and women who want to get married and have babies, but they're scared because the world is uncertain. They're allowing themselves to be ruled by fear when they don't want to have babies or get married. They're choosing to be ruled by fear rather than trusting in God. And that's why Christ says to all of us, occupy until I come. And occupy is a term that when an army's occupying a territory, they are exercising dominion or rulership over the land they're occupying. Well, we're not occupying anything in a military sense, but in a spiritual sense. When Jesus says, occupy until I come, or the second coming, we are to spiritually occupy the land that he's given us. So this is a fundamental truth. And if you're on the right side of this truth, you're going to ride the waves of blessing. If you're on the wrong side of this truth by opposing it or rejecting it, you're going to be buffeted and slammed by the storms and adversities of cursing. It's really simple, because God's word is really simple if you take the time to read about it and think about it. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire, and it is our goal on this program to be fruitful and multiply. And that means taking whatever talents and resources that the Lord has given us and planting seeds in the hearts and minds of men and women all across the United States, all across the world, and transforming people and winning people to Christ. I was reading, I think it was a Facebook message written to me just the other day. Well, it was written to me long before that, but for some reason, it popped up and I read it, and it was from a guy thanking me for the program. And he said, you know, by listening to your program has transformed my entire life. And then he went on about, because he's been listening to my program on a regular basis, the Paul McGuire Report, his entire life has been transformed. And he also meant spiritually and for Jesus Christ. You see, God used this ministry in his life as he does in a lot of people's lives. This ministry becomes almost an umbilical cord for people, feeding them the essential nutrients from God's word, whether it's through commentary or cultural analysis or teaching the Bible or whatever. And basically, what we're doing here on the Paul McGuire Report is we're simply answering the questions that people have, and we're simply ministering to people in the areas that they have need, because the church isn't doing that. There's no counter voice to the attacks from a hostile culture. People are starving for the truth, especially now with this coronavirus epidemic, and especially with the evil being attempted under the camouflage of COVID and under the camouflage of an economic reboot. You know, it's important that as a believer you understand all that stuff on a multidimensional level. Again, not just superficially, you know, picking up what the media is lying to you about, that you really understand what the game plan is. We talk about it on this program all the time. And we talk about all of this stuff in the book, my new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. The question that people are looking for the answers to, everybody wants to know what's going to happen next in America, in Europe, and around the world. Because we've been rocked by the coronavirus and social unrest and the whole thing with the election and all kinds of stuff. And so people have been hit like with a shockwave. And it's hard to find answers, because the answers that should be there are not readily available. And, you know, I was talking to my wife the other day, Chris, and we were, I don't know, channel surfing. And I commented, like I usually do, about how much lying there was going on by the mainstream. Just lie after lie after lie after lie, or ignoring the truth. And then, you know, you channel surf the television shows, and they're like, it's like somebody's put the gas pedal in a car. They've stomped on the accelerator, and we're now burning rubber in our culture, because every kind of show, whether it's a drama or a comedy or a romance thing or whatever, they all are becoming vulgar and immoral and ultra-violent or pathologically sick. As our culture is imploding, there's this primal addiction coming out of people, I guess, from their fallen nature. They want blood. They want the occult. They want perversion. I mean, just this nonstop garbage. And then with the news, including the once conservative cable news network, which is no more, and the Drudge Report, which used to be a conservative media outlet and has not been in a long time. I told my wife casually, I said, the only real hope here is that fortunately in America right now, there's still enough people that have a common sense worldview, that have a biblical worldview. There's still enough people in America that when they see all this garbage, they're getting just as sickened as we are. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I can tell you right now, they're tuning it out. I think we caught a couple of minutes of the Grammys, and it was like so sick. And I made a comment regarding what we saw and said, and the comment also had to do with the upcoming Academy Awards and the award shows and stuff. And I said to her, we're not the only people that are sickened by what we see. I guarantee you, even though I don't have statistics at this moment to support, I guarantee you that their ratings are crashing and that the number of viewers and watchers that they have is crashing. I said, there's no way they can pump out this garbage. There's no way that the so-called conservative cable news network can continue lying. They're not fooling their viewers. They're not speaking the truth anymore. I said, I guarantee you, their ratings and their numbers are crashing. Now, we've had this conversation a couple of times. Then in the last 3 days, I happened to run into or hear the latest data, and the conservative news network that I was talking about, it had crashed. It had lost about 30% of its viewers. That's huge. But then all the other ones, the liberal cable news networks, they were losing like 50%, 53% of their viewers, of their audience. And then across the board, I think it was the NFL football game, they had lost, it was somewhere between 40 and 50% of their viewers. So across the board, the audiences, Americans, Christians, are voting and saying, no, we don't want to watch your garbage, your filth, and most of all, we don't want to watch your lies anymore. And so, to my surprise, I knew it was going to be a hit for all of them. But when you are losing 50% on average of your audience, you are crashing. And remember, the conservative news network had no competition. It was the only one like its kind, except the relatives of the owner, the sons of the owner took over, who were liberal. So people are tuning out. And the reason they're tuning out is they want truth. And they know they can't find the truth. They can't find the facts. And they can't find the truth on just about anything they're looking for, including the conservative, so-called conservative networks and the Drudge Report. They no longer are giving the truth out, whether it's the truth about vaccinations or the truth about the economy or the truth about what's happening politically. It's all like censored. It's all like Orwellian, and they're losing numbers of viewers and watchers by the millions. Now, the reason that's hopeful, reason that is incredibly hopeful, is that those statistics, that data tells you that there's still hope in our nation. There's still a critical mass of people that currently live in America that have retained their sanity, their common sense values, and to whatever degree, what's ever left of their biblical values. There's still a critical mass of those people. And it's reflected in staggering loss of numbers. See, when you do the math on this, and you go back to the election, you know something wasn't right, because you see the numbers in terms of watchers of media, why people will watch and why people will stop watching, it's connected to how people vote. And so when you're being told one thing about what happened, and you know you're being lied to, you know you're being lied to because it doesn't make any sense. And thank God we still have significant critical mass of people in America who have common sense. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You can take advantage and get discounts on our books and by getting a book bundle. So you can go to paulmcguire.us and you can get The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, along with another book of your choice, like Conquering the Matrix, which deals with scientific mind control and propaganda and persuasion. And books are power. Knowledge is power. And when you have important knowledge based on truth, you grow in power. And it enables you to be fruitful and multiply. So visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a second. This is the Paul McGuire Report. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So God tells mankind, men and women, to be fruitful and multiply. And that includes a list of things, including making babies, including your talents, your abilities, your assets, giftings, resources, whatever, that whatever God's given you or whatever God has given you the capacity to produce, create, and make, God expects you to do that. He expects you to be fruitful and multiply. And in that statement, God is thinking not only of just making babies, God is thinking of economic, being fruitful and multiplying, knowledge, being fruitful and multiplying, etc., etc. So, because God is love and God's intention for mankind, men and women, was to bless them because he loves them. Okay. We're going to bypass the account of Lucifer speaking through a reptilian serpent, seducing spiritually Adam and Eve, and how that caused Adam and Eve to lose their authority, to lose their ability to have dominion, because now Satan has stolen it and he's become the temporary god of this world. So what does that mean? It means now that the world being ruled under the temporary god of this world, Satan or Lucifer, that there is an inevitable oppression, a sense of being conquered that has occurred to men and women, human race, because they have been conquered. And even up until this present time, yes, Jesus is Lord. Jesus ultimately wins. But in this interim period between now and whenever Christ returns, the oppressive forces of Satan, Satan goes about seeking to kill, steal, and destroy from God's people. And part of that strategy includes attempting to thwart or block or destroy men and women's capacity to be fruitful and multiply, not only with babies, but in all areas. In all areas. Notice that in any governmental regime around the world, this is why you have to have a knowledge of history, a knowledge of the past, because if you don't, you're a certifiable moron. I mean, I'm serious, and I'm not saying that to insult anybody. Okay? I'm not saying it to insult anybody. It's a loving slap in the face. Not a punch, a slap. Saying, wake up. This is why, you see, this is why you have to know something about history. You don't have to be a history professor. This is why, instead of just sitting there, you need to actually read books of power. And you need to read my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Why? Because I poured a lifetime of research into it, and it contains everything that I've wanted to say about the world, America, where it's going, our past, etc., in an easy-to-read, fast-moving style. And you're not being taught that from any other source, by the way. You're not. There's no other preachers preaching on it, I promise you. There's no other ministries talking about it. And that's, maybe that's not their call, but this is my call. So that you know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Now, this is what I want to, and you, so you need to get, today, you need to go to paulmaguire.us and either get a book bundle or just the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. We have secure buying. Use a credit card. You can use PayPal, whatever you want. Just press a button. This is why it's critical, okay? This is why it's critical that you know history. Because in The Greatest Battle, I open up and explain in more detail this critical fact that you will never be told in any school. I'm just going to give you a couple of sentences here and there, because you got to understand some basics or we can't move forward. The American Revolution, because it was based on the Bible, has set millions of people free, not only in America, across the world. Yes, America is not perfect. Yes, America has committed a lot of crimes. But even with all that baggage, America has made an overwhelmingly positive contribution to the people in America and around the world. The reason for that is America, unlike any other nation on planet Earth, attempted to, however imperfectly, live by, govern by, and operate by biblical principles. Biblical principles. Now, it wasn't 100% pure. We know that. I explained that in my book. We had Freemasonry in there and all kinds of stuff. But basically, America was built on biblical principles. That is why America has produced the only viable middle class in significant numbers in the history of the human race. Let me break that down for you. Despite what they told you in the mind control factories that we call public education, which are not designed to educate you, they're designed to stupefy you. Emphasis on stupefy equals stupid. Their purpose is to dumb you down. And the way you dumb a person down, it's really simple. All their scientists know this. You should know it. The way you dumb somebody down is God doesn't really create dummies. Dummies are manufactured in a mind control factory. The way you dumb somebody down is you deprive them of knowledge. Knowledge of history. Knowledge of psychology. Knowledge of true science. Knowledge of the Bible. So by deprivation of knowledge in the mind control factory, you create stupid, dumbed down people. It's an equation. It's done on purpose. Why? Why is it done on purpose? Because the invisible yet very real elite that govern America and the world, they want total domination and control. Notice the word domination. They want to rule over the rest of mankind, not in a good way like God told Adam and Eve to do in the Garden of Eden. Not exercising dominion in a righteous way. No, they want to exercise unrighteous dominion in an evil way. Another way of saying that is they want a dictatorship, a totalitarian regime, a police state, which guarantees through brute military force that they, the globalist elite, are the God kings. They're the rulers. And everything is designed intentionally to enslave the rest of mankind. You'll never hear that in school. It's true. I'll debate anybody, anywhere, anytime, publicly, as long as it's alive. It's live. And as long as we can record our own copy with maximum distribution. See, that way nobody can cheat. So when they go down, which they will in a debate, because I have truth on my side, when they go down, which they will, they can't claim a false victory by editing out what I really said or censoring out what I really said, because we'll have the entire thing of what they said. See, I'm not worried about taking some shots, taking some heat, but they will go down because they're on the wrong side of the argument. But the only safety factor that I have is video, where there has to be a guaranteed of full distribution and full, let the people decide, let the audiences decide. Okay, so the covert strategy of controlling the masses, of dominating the masses. So you notice that people who are either intentionally or by default serving Satan, when they exercise dominion or rulership, it's always in a cruel dictatorship, barbaric, totalitarian, big brother state. That's what the globalist elite want, because they have financed all the technology, all the think tanks, all the mechanisms of brute force for centuries. And they want a dumbed down population for this reason. And you know what? Every Christian preacher should be able to spout this off the top of their heads in nanoseconds, instead of stumbling and fumbling in the closet. Sir Aldous Huxley, a prominent member of the British elite, his brother Julian Huxley, also a prominent member of the British elite. Both of them, the Huxley brothers, were trained by H.G. Wells, the great science fiction author, a highest-ranking member of the British elite, the former head of British intelligence in World War I. They were discipled by him. Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World, a novel about a scientific dictatorship in which the scientific dictatorship ruled the masses through mind control, mind-altering drugs, sex, lots of sex to keep them happy with their imprisonment. And so Aldous Huxley, I've watched the videos of his speeches at the University of Berkeley in 1961, where he told the neuropsychiatrists gathered that in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, we can program men and women to not only not know that they're slaves, but we can program them so effectively that they will absolutely love and delight in doing all their duties as our slaves. That's the scientific dictatorship. We are, the rest of the world is in a scientific dictatorship right now. But one of the characteristics of a scientific dictatorship is that the masses are brainwashed and cannot be cognizant of the fact that they are indeed in a dictatorship. So that's what Aldous Huxley did. His brother Julian Huxley helped started the United Nations at the very beginning. Julian Huxley headed up UNESCO, which is the global United Nations educational and scientific arm. And UNESCO sets the global educational standards for every nation on planet Earth. And one of Julian Huxley's achievements, among many, he was a militant humanist and signer of the Humanist Manifesto, but he and his team, Huxley's team, created what was called Common Core. This was in the early 50s or very, very late 40s. Common Core was created by UNESCO, an arm of the United Nations, and Common Core was designed strategically to dumb down the global population and program them to be happy slaves on a global plantation system called the New World Order. Yes, yes, it's true. Now, if you read my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, get the book bundle, or you read my book, Mass Awakening, or The Greatest Battle, or Conquering the Matrix, I go into details about all this stuff and documentation. So, that's the reason that Common Core was put back into both the charter school systems, it snuck into the Christian school systems, and put back in all the public school systems a number of years ago. They started to use Common Core again. Who promoted it? Guess who promoted it? Your favorite billionaire, Bill Gates. And Melinda Gates and their foundations, they promoted charter schools. They promoted the whole Common Core curriculum. Sometimes they use different names. Now, why would they want to do that? Because they're part of the elite. The Huxleys were part of the elite. And what Common Core does, it, quite simply to your child, it uses a fake educational mechanism called teaching to the test, which simply means the teacher teaches specifically information that's only related to what is actually going to be given on the test. The goal is not to educate. The goal is not to teach the students so that they can learn. The goal is very, very simple, narrow, and focused. Have the teachers teach to the test so that if the child memorizes exactly what the teacher says and what the curriculum says, if the child simply memorizes what they've been told and then regurgitates it when they take the test, it will appear as if they're learning and they're very smart and bright and educated, because they're going to come home to mommy and daddy with a bunch of A's and high grades on their report card. Why? Because they actually learned something? No, because they simply repeated what they were told to repeat in Common Core. So Common Core will reward you for memorizing what you've been told to know and repeating it back like a hypnotic slave. Common Core will not reward you for thinking or really learning. So it's a con game. It's to make middle-class parents who don't have the time or the energy to really study this thing. It's a con game designed to fool the middle class and the working class, when all they know, the middle class and the working class, is when their kids come home, now they've got good, great grades on their report card, not because they're educated, not because they really learned anything, because Common Core, they received an education where they were taught to the test, or you could say they were taught simply to take a test. The whole thing's a scam. I've done detailed studies. I read this reports by this female author, not a Christian, most likely a liberal author and educator, and a number of others, and she exposed the whole thing, how it dumbs down the student. Because you see, when all a student is doing is memorizing what the teacher told him or her and then regurgitates it back on a test, that's not learning. That's just called being a dummy and memorizing some facts so it appears like you learned something. But the truth of the matter is, you're still a dummy. And I'm not putting down kids, and I'm not putting down parents, because they don't have the time to be an expert in everything. But that, who invented that? Aldous Huxley's brother, Julian Huxley. You got to know who these people are. They're members or were members of the British elite. Aldous Huxley was also the primary promoter of LSD in America and around the world, because he was trying to deprogram American youth from being Christians and conservatives and patriotic. And Huxley and H.G. Wells and his brother, Julian Huxley, they all understood. They all had the inside information on what was known as MKUltra, the scientific mind control program, further developed by the Nazi mind control scientists. And they understood the basic scientific principle behind scientific mind control, which is pain or shock or trauma plus drugs plus hypnosis. So the MKUltra, you traumatize, you shock, you blow the minds of people, then you blast them with LSD, and then you hypnotically program them. And they did it to an entire nation, America. They did it to Europe or Britain. They've done it around the world. And the delivery vehicle was the mass entertainment music industry, you know, Beatles, Rolling Stones. They were all used as suckers in the promotion of this radical New World Order programming agenda. All you got to do is listen to the words of the late Beatle John Lennon song, Imagine, which is played, as you know, every New Year's Eve when the ball drops in New York City on Times Square. We all have to endure the song Imagine by John Lennon. You know, imagine no heaven, imagine there's no God, imagine there's no nations. You listen to everything what he's saying. It's a hypnotic memorization prayer of a new world godless order. Read the words of the song. It was written by scientists, and he was simply the stooge that was addicted to heroin, and they used him. And then apparently somebody wanted to get rid of him. I liked his music. I liked the fact that he questioned. In fact, I liked John Lennon. At that time, he was my favorite Beatle. Now I've grown older, and I prefer soft music, so I prefer Paul McCartney. But I like John Lennon. Nothing against the guy. He was just a puppet singing for the puppet masters that are the real controllers of planet Earth. This is the thing that people... You see, they run away from that concept. They can't handle that truth. That's too much truth for them to handle. They go into an internal meltdown, because then they would have to deal with it. Then the Christians would have to get out of the closet and stand up for what they believe. Because that's the only way we can obey Jesus Christ, is to stand up for what we believe. And if we say we believe in the Bible, then we have to stand up and act and do what the Bible tells us to do, which is occupy until Jesus comes. Make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what Jesus Christ told us to do. And so we need your help in doing that. First of all, I must have your intercessory prayers for me, my family, and this ministry. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your fervent prayers. It's everything. Thank you for spreading our messages far and wide by liking our social media stuff, joining it, following it, whatever the latest term is. We don't keep lists, but we need that ammunition because the internet is rigged, okay? My numbers are being falsified. They have my YouTube numbers, which I think currently are at like 23,400, have been at 23,400 for at least 5 years or 6 years. Now, you're telling me we haven't gained one new person? The real number is quantumly higher than that. I could point to my other social media. They're rigging the numbers. My numbers get stuck at a particular, whatever their computer algorithm wants to do it. And it's not just me. It's many of the people that are really telling the truth. The same thing happens. We were kicked off or threatened on two giant social media platforms. We have fought to get back. They're trying to stop our message from going forward by minimalizing us and marginalizing us. You see, I have other ways, other internal ways of looking at the accuracy of the number rankings that they give me. I have internal ranking systems that show me with real accuracy numbers of listeners and watchers and likers and followers. Thank God I have that because it's really encouraging because our numbers are really high. If I just believe the lies, see, it's important that they lie about real numbers because that way what they can say is, oh, this person has no influence. This person, nobody pays attention to this person. It's a concerted strategic effort to marginalize, which is to psychologically assassinate, to make go away, to make disappear people who are speaking the truth and are effective at it. So thank you for watching my back, and please continue to do so. I need you to follow me, like me, and all the rest of that stuff. It's not for ego. You know what the reason is. And then finally, I want to thank every one of you that have gone before the Lord. And when you've been praying for this me and this ministry, you've asked the Lord, what can I donate financially? What would you have me contribute, Lord, financially to Paul, the ministry, and what he's trying to do? And I want to thank you for listening to the Lord. And I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart for donating whatever God told you to donate. Your donations make a huge difference, whether they're large or small. All I ask you to do is ask God, and whatever he tells you to do, large or small, do. But you're our lifeline, and I need you, because I'm not in this for any other reason besides God told me to do it. My conscience compels me to do it. I can't stop doing it because every cell in my DNA, every cell in my being literally resonates with the call of God, with the call of Almighty God on my life. I could no more take off the call of God on my life than I could, I don't know, you know what I'm saying. I have a call from God on my life just like you do. And he told me, not in an audible voice, but he told me through my inner conscience and inner witness of the Holy Spirit, he told me to do what I'm doing. And he continually downloads into me plans, thoughts, and ideas. And I want to tell you something. It's no accident that you listen to me. The people that don't listen to me, God bless them. Let them find what they need somewhere else. But those of you that are regular listeners, you are my partners. And together, there's tremendous power we can release. Together. God bless you. I love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am your brother in Christ as well as your servant in Christ, Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.